Welcome back to Hoops HD Under the Radar, old school style.
Old school. This is like a classic throwback game or whatever. Yeah, this is the classic lineup.
Yeah, welcome back to the 2005 college basketball season. Is that
right? Yeah, this is the original band. I mean, back together again.
Yeah, this was when we started the Under the Radar Reports. David, was you and I. We would sit there, and I don't know. We didn't have graphics. We just sit in.
Yeah, we had no graphics.
It was pretty lousy.
Yeah. How long ago?
Still lousy, but
yeah, it was pretty lousy. Not that it's any better now.
Yeah, it's still absolutely awful now. But
right,
graphics.
Like, if you are, I mean, if you're watching this, you really should find something else to watch. I can't, but I mean, we're glad you're here, though.
Yeah. Well, this is our Under the Radar show where we take a look at the 22 non multi-bid leagues. That means we don't include the power leagues like the Big East and what else? The Big 10, the Big 12,
Pac-12,
SEC, Pac-12. American, Atlantic 10 for some odd reason, or they kind of suck.
Yeah.
The Mountain West, the West Coast. Those 10 leagues are on the Hoops HD report.
Right, and what it is, it's the regular we don't include the regular multi-bid leagues. We include what's regularly the one-bid leagues, but just to clarify that, Chad, that doesn't mean that teams from these leagues can't get at-large bids or that these leagues can't send two teams. It happens all the time. We may see it happen this year. But these are the regular single-bid leagues.
Regular single-bid leagues, right. But we also have a disqualifier, though. So if you're ranked in the top 25 in either of the polls, you are not technically under the radar. Still two teams, Furman and Buffalo,
that are
in conferences we'll be discussing, but they are not technically under the radar. We discussed them back Monday night also.
Yeah, we did. So we might talk about them indirectly, but not directly, because they've already had their time in the Hoops HD report.
Well, I guess we'll get right to it. We like to start with a feature conference, and so we'll just go to Stalica for that.
Yeah, let's go to Stalica. Oh, wait, it's a throwback show.
That's a throwback. He's not here. Okay. I thought he was here for a second.
We didn't even know Stalica back then.
Okay. Let's see if we can pull up a picture of San Antonio then. How's that?
Yeah, a picture. That would be great.
No.
Part of the throwback. Well, San Antonio wasn't part of the throwback show. Neither were the graphics, but I guess we'll keep looking at these. So in looking at the Ohio Valley, I really like two of these teams, and I don't just mean by under-the-radar standards. Murray State and Belmont are both looking like top 40 caliber teams. Now, whether they'll have the profile to put themselves inside the bubble or not, I don't know. But we talk about this every year, especially in March, when you look at the teams on the 11, 12, 13 line, some of these automatic qualifiers that didn't land inside the bubble, and you're like, I would much rather play whoever is on the 9 or 10 line than these teams. Belmont, Murray, both really good. I mean, really good.
Yeah, I'm going to pull their profiles up here directly on the team sheets. You can ignore some of these other teams that are up here for a moment. Belmont actually didn't play this week, but Murray State had a pair of games, including what they just did tonight before we came on the air, at Southern Illinois by a score of 80-52. This wasn't just a beatdown. This was a complete and total thrashing beatdown, ass-kicking. I don't even know what to call this tonight.
And what was amazing was that they did it in Carbondale. To give you an idea of Southern Illinois, if you're watching this show, you know who they are. But in case this is the first time you've ever seen it, they hung right in with Kentucky at Rupp Arena. Buffalo went down there, did not win nearly as easily as Murray just did. This is a pretty good Southern Illinois team. And Murray just trucked them. It was ridiculous.
It really was very, very impressive performance there by Murray. And then look at the side there, Belmont again. They didn't play this week, but they still have the sweep over a Lipscomb team that we're going to be discussing a lot as the season goes forward. So another just, actually their metrics are better than Murray's.
Their team's really good. Lipscomb, who we're going to talk about here in a little bit, went into Louisville tonight and with less than a minute to go was down by just 2 points, stayed with them the whole time, really had a chance to win that game. Belmont beat them twice. So a pretty good Belmont team. When you look at the rest of the league here, there isn't much there. A.W. Hamilton, his first year at Eastern Kentucky. I'd kind of like to give them a shout out because this is a team that missed the conference tournament last year. I don't think they even won 10 Division I games, yet here they are, much improvement. For those of you that don't know, he came from Kevin Keats at NC State, and he was at UNC Wilmington before that, and we were big on them as a UTR. So this guy has UTR roots, and he's doing a great job.
Yeah, big win over a very good Northern Kentucky team this weekend, this past weekend, actually. So that's the note there on Eastern Kentucky. Also, Jacksonville State still think they'll be competitive. They gave Wichita State a real tough game tonight at Wichita, but did not pull it out at the end. Wichita did win the game. Let's take a look at the upcoming schedule here, I guess. Just for a quick side note, though, those of you that are watch the show along, you will see in the various metrics there, the KPI ratings are now out as well.
Yeah. So
we have a full list of metrics available for you to look at it. Very interesting that Belmont 18, Murray 136, although that does not include the game today.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Southern Illinois. So I expect a big bounce for Murray tomorrow morning when Kevin updates the numbers.
Really big weekend. We talked about Belmont in their profile, and will it be there? Well, one of the things that they need to do to get it there is to probably win a game like the one at UCLA. UCLA, maybe a tournament caliber team, but pretty close to it. They're unbeaten at home. That is the kind of win that would jump out at the committee if they can go there and get that one. Right, and they're good enough to do it. I'm not going to predict a win there, but I'm going to say that they're absolutely good enough to win that one.
And also take a look next week. It'll be next Wednesday night before we do our next Under the Radar show. They're hosting Western Kentucky, so a pair of huge week at you for Belmont coming up.
Yeah, really is.
Murray, they've got one game. They're hosting Jackson State. I think that's the only game they play. Oh, no, they're also hosting Evansville. So
yeah,
a lot easier week for Murray this week. Mm-hmm. Let's. What do we want to discuss? How about the America East? Or should we do the backwards? Yeah.
We could do them backwards because the WAC, holy crap, did they have a big week.
Oh, screw it. Let's do it backwards. Let's start with the WAC. We'll just screw things up until the WAC.
Yeah.
New Mexico State, despite a loss, was as impressive as I've seen all season from this team.
They really were, Chad. And I mean, we'll get to our top 10. I can't imagine that they're not in it. They're probably number one in it or very close to number one. But what I don't really want to say like a moral victory, but they went into Kansas City, a very pro-Kansas crowd, and hung with the team that's ranked number one in the nation for most of the game. They had the lead through most of the second half. They had a chance to tie it at the buzzer. It was just an incredible effort that followed up what had to have been a feel-good win where they just blitzed rival New Mexico. We didn't talk about this on the Hoops HD report, but did you want to bring it up? I don't really know what happened before the game. I don't want to blow it out of proportion, but there was some sort of altercation between the two teams.
Between New Mexico and Mexico State, apparently there was an altercation before the game. I did not watch it. I'll confess I was not watching that game that evening.
It was such a blowout. There were no incidents during the game other than just – I mean, what they were doing in New Mexico was illegal, but two really impressive showings in the way they just kept hanging in with Kansas, and every time it looked like momentum was going Kansas's way, they fought back. And if you look at their profile there, Chad, they could win out. They really could.
Well, let's pull that up right here, New Mexico State.
Yeah. And this was a year where I thought it was going to be kind of a rebuilding year. I mean, they've got Northern Colorado, who's a decent Big Sky. There's nobody on there that has looked as good as they have. The other team, Grand Canyon, the Lopes, another impressive showing against Nevada.
I throw a couple of things out here. First of all, that December 22nd game is the first round of a Las Vegas tournament. It's a two-round event. They might get San Diego in the championship game. That could be a bit of a tough test. San Diego, pretty good team so far this year. Also, keep an eye on Seattle as well in this conference.
The other team that we wanted to talk about along with the Wolves.
I was impressed by three teams in the way that all lost games this week. New Mexico State, Seattle, and Grand Canyon. All against very good teams. Although Seattle kind of made a run late to make that Washington score a little closer than it really was.
Yeah, but I mean, they were in there for part of the game. But yeah, I don't think, at least at the end, they were really sweating it. But the Lopes now, and they have Texas coming up. And you kind of got to look at it. Eventually, they're going to knock someone off. They played Seton Hall. I want to say it was in the Wooden Legacy, and took them down to the final minute. They were right in there with Nevada, had a lead for a good portion of that game, and but couldn't get it done there. But still, this is a Lopes program that a lot of people don't forget. Like last year was the first year after they had transitioned up, and they are already making a statement and a force in this conference. So they've kind of exploded onto it, to the scene, for a program that didn't even exist at the D1 level a few years ago.
Yeah. So I don't think it's New Mexico State take as for granted in this conference. There is at the top there between Seattle and the Lopes, a little more competition. And, yeah. And don't forget Chicago State failed to win the Battle of Chicago tonight against DePaul by about 40 points. But
yeah. Oh my God. What is wrong with them?
Let's go back. Keep going backwards here. Let's take a look at the Sun Belt next, where we've got the very interesting story developing here with this Texas State team that I really wasn't paying much attention to, but they just keep piling up wins.
Yeah, the strength of schedule there is, you see, they haven't really been playing the best teams, but they're winning all the games that they're playing. And they're winning handily. Like, you know, they're winning the way that you would expect a good team to play. Georgia Southern had a nice game the other day at UCF.
That UCF, they lost by 7, but they were right there with them.
Yeah, had a lead through a lot of the second half. Georgia State, another impressive team.
First place in the SEC, Georgia State.
Yeah, first place in the SEC. They're really hitting their stride. And so, again, some really good – I mean, those three. And Louisiana, don't forget about them. I kind of do because they haven't really played the schedule that Georgia State's played, or at least, like, not the brand names, but...
Well, you look at the strength schedule. I mean, look at Georgia Southern, by far the strongest schedule of anybody in this conference.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Upcoming week here in the Southern... I'm sorry, not in the Southern, in the Sun Belt. There's the games, a very interesting game, Georgia State at Kansas State. Also, keep an eye on that Louisiana Tech, Louisiana game.
That one's going to be fun. That one normally is. If you haven't been watching that rivalry, check it out.
Let's see here. We even get a game out of Texas State this week. It looks like they're at Rio Grande Valley. Another 300 sub 300 team for the Bobcats.
Right.
At some point, we'll find out if that team is actually any good, but not yet.
Georgia Southern, who we mentioned, their crazy strength of schedule, taking on Bruton Parker College this week. Not a crazy hard game.
Yeah, well, then they got a home game against Bradley on Tuesday. A little bit, more competitive there, I think.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead. Bruton Parker College. Let's take a look. Keep going backwards. How about the Summit League? And wow, what a performance we saw in the first half by South Dakota State against Savannah State last night.
Against the team of the people, I hate to admit it.
The NCAA record in a D1 game for points and a half is 97 by Oklahoma against Loyola Marymount back in the, I think, late 80s, 88 or 89, I believe.
Yeah.
South Dakota State almost broke it. 90 points in the first half.
It was 90 to 33 at the half. I was believing. I think we all were, Chad. You saw me on Twitter. I believed in the team of the people that they were going to mount the comeback. But, it was insane. It was just banana. To score 90 points against anybody, much less a D1 school, is in one half. I had never seen that before. I wasn't even sure it had ever happened before, but our historian, I think. Was it you or Kyle?
That was actually me. Thank you.
Okay.
Took a little research, but yeah, we found it out. We went back to old U.S. international games.
Even remember them being Div 1.
No, yeah, they were Div 1. They had some great matchups with Loyola Marymount back in the Paul Westhead era, but they were 180 to 170 games they were playing. It was fun.
Yeah, I guess it was.
Let's stop reminiscing and move on to the upcoming week here in the Summit League. South Dakota State behind Mike Dahl, a huge test coming up on Saturday at Nevada. Yeah. Should be a fun game to watch.
Should be, yeah. And again, I think they're a little overmatched in that one. Nevada is crazy good. I don't know if I think they're top 5 good, but I definitely think they're top 10 good.
Well, let's talk about teams that are not top 10 good, but are more of bottom 10 good. The Southwestern Athletic Conference.
Oh, wow.
We had a question last week. Would there be any D1 wins in this conference? We had a few that we were looking at as possible, including that Grambling Louisiana Monroe game. Didn't happen. None of them happened. There were none.
Yeah.
Alcorn State, two wins on the week, you know, neither against the D1, but they did pick up two wins. I guess that's the best story.
Right. And are we going to get to double digits, Tad? Where are we at? We're at 3, 5, 6, 7, 8. We just need two more.
Two more wins. Well, let's see if we can get one this week, David. Let's take a look at the upcoming schedule here for the conference. We've got, as we record this, actually, Alabama State is at Boise. They're actually, we're in this game. They're actually only down 8 with about 8 minutes left, but they were actually up for a while, and Boise started to turn it on. I don't think they're going to be able to pull this one out.
Grambling at Portland is possible. Southern going to Northwestern State's pretty bad.
Northwestern State, maybe. Let's take a look at
Texas Southern at Tulane.
And Texas Southern at Lamar. A couple possibilities here.
Texas Southern might do it. They might get to 10 all by themselves.
Southern with a home game against a D1 foe hosting Cal Baptist.
That's a huge rarity. A SWAC team hosting a Div 1 team. That isn't another SWAC team.
Keeping our backwards track here, how about let's take a look over to the Southland, where we still have, with only one loss, the Abilene Christian Wildcats, a huge win over the Shriners this week.
Yeah, sure.
In fact, one of only two wins by the conference the entire week. Conference had the most of the week off, though. It's finals week.
Right. Abilene Christian, kind of a fun story. I still like this SFA team, even though they only have two D1 wins. I think that as conference play plays out, they're going to be in there. But Abilene Christian, they've looked better than anyone else from this league that I've seen. That's a very high bar.
But real interesting week for this league, though. First of all, Saturday, Abilene Christian's at Texas Tech. Over their heads, certainly. Yeah. But we should get to know a lot more about this team. And then, if you talk about SFA, coming up next Tuesday at Baylor, a very winnable game for SFA if they really are any good.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not a very good Baylor team this year.
Yeah.
Let's keep rolling right along to the SoCon, which we can't discuss the team in first place, correct? Because they are...
We can't talk about them, but plenty else to talk about here. The Citadel still having a historic year. They've already won 4 D1 games. That's way ahead of what their win total for the season has been in some recent years. Wofford kind of getting it together there. I still really like this Greensboro team.
I agree with you. This Greensboro team has been impressive. Don't overlook a team like East Tennessee State even either, that there are a lot of teams here. Western Carolina picked up a couple nice wins already, although their overall record is garbage. But
right. And another team that it was the team that you picked to finish last and that I didn't think you were overranking them. Samford, one of the bigger surprises, at least maybe not in college basketball as a whole, but one of the bigger UTR surprises, wouldn't you say? They look really good this year.
They do. There wasn't much that happened this past week in the SoCon, but I think we've got a couple of really good games coming up. But let's pull that upcoming schedule up here. We've got what do we have there?
Samford, winnable game against Morehead State tomorrow.
We don't really have much to watch. Wofford at Mississippi State next Wednesday might be the only game here to really watch.
The Citadel might win another game. They got SEMO coming in.
Yeah, that Asheville team that Wofford is posting is a horribly bad Asheville. Yeah. East Tennessee State and Illinois, keep an eye on that. A potential upset alert there for the Illini.
East Tennessee State pretty good, Illinois pretty bad.
Yeah. Okay. Over to the Patriot League. How about the Patriot League? They tried to make me go backwards. It's not easy.
Backwards.
I don't know what happened to this conference. I don't know if there's anything to note other than the fact that Army won that game against Air Force, maybe.
Not a fan of them scheduling that during the Army-Navy football game. Army basketball, I know it isn't a big deal, but if you want to try and make it a big deal, don't schedule a service academy when your football team is playing a service academy. Just a thought.
Lehigh with a win at a winless Mount St. Mary's team. I mean, this conference just hasn't shown me anything yet this season at all. I don't think there's anybody that I'm looking at. We're probably looking at a 16 seed from what I've seen of this from this league so far.
Probably so. Boston U has been hot and cold, but mostly cold. But yeah, I think you're right. It's 15-16 line.
Bucknell on the road at Ohio State this weekend. And then at St. Mary. So big week for Bucknell, actually.
Yeah, if they get both of those, then we'll have more to say.
We'll have a lot different story next week about the Patriot League. They may even be our feature conference.
Right.
Another conference we're not going to discuss much until conference play, but we'll do real quick here, is the Northeast.
We love this conference. Yeah. We're not blowing it off. It's pretty remarkable that there's a team in there that isn't below 500. That's St. Francis Brooklyn.
Yeah, and St. Francis Brooklyn on that very short list of teams that have never made the NCAA tournament despite being in D1 since the inception. This could be possibly their year, especially SFPA, a little more disappointing than I thought they'd be so far. I think they were my preseason pick.
I'm blank. It's the Citadel, St. Francis Brooklyn, VMI. Who's the other one?
No, Citadel, St. Francis Brooklyn, William & Mary.
That's right. Of
three
course.
Of the four. VMI has made the tournament before.
Oh, VMI has? I didn't think they
had. Yes, they have. Who is the fourth team, though?
It used to be five, and Northwestern was one of them, but they made it. Are you sure it's not VMI?
No, I'm sure it's not VMI. And we're just doing pretty awful here. St. Francis Brooklyn, Citadel, William Mary, definitely on that list. There is one other, and we apologize for that, not knowing that fourth team. But we'll figure it out before the end of the show.
I bet it's a UTR team.
Oh, that's a pretty good bet.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Rutgers. Here's the upcoming schedule.
Upcoming schedules.
St. Francis Brooklyn at St. John's. Keep an eye on that one, maybe.
Yeah, St. John's having to sweat some games out. I bet they don't sweat that one out, though.
I don't know. They sweated out Mount St. Mary's, and Mount St. Mary's is 0-9, David.
Yeah, that's
true. St. Francis is a lot better team than Mount St. Mary's, so... and how about St. Francis Pennsylvania going up against the Franciscan University?
Yeah, should be a fun one there. Like Francis and Franciscan, it's just a battle of what? Who's next?
Francis's. Okay.
our show is, it's a good thing we don't have a producer. He would have shot himself.
It's a disaster. Missouri Valley Conference. We talked about this conference last week as a figure of disasters.
Yes.
And Drake, still 6-1, but really haven't played anybody still.
Yeah, I'm starting to like them more than anyone else just by default. The Trees, again, 4-2 against D1 teams. One of those two losses, a close game at Xavier. Could it be Drake and Indiana State? Like, what the hell is wrong with Southern Illinois? We like them coming into the year, but here they are losing two in a row, one of them spectacularly. And then Loyola Chicago,
Utter
500. Three of those losses are at home. Now, one was to Nevada, but, to lose to Furman, and then was it Ball State that just beat them down? I mean, God, this is just a weak league. And instead of getting two teams inside the bubble, are they going to get any more – are they going to end up on the 14 line?
That's what we're looking – I don't even know what to say here. I mean, look at what the conference did nothing this week. I mean, the only thing I know is maybe Valpo winning at GW, but everybody wins at GW.
Yeah, everybody wins
at GW. It was so damn close.
Except GW.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe let's see what's coming up this week here, because maybe we can finally make a little noise for the MVC. Drake is playing Iowa State out just part of that Big Four Classic out there in Iowa. That would be a huge win for Drake if they could find some way to pull it out.
Right. Now, since the show is already off the rails, I thought the Big Four, is this the last year they're doing it, at least in its format? Because I thought Iowa was backing out of it.
I had not heard that, but...
Or maybe it was Iowa State. Or maybe I'm just...
It's a Big Four doubleheader, the Drake, Iowa State, and Northern. You see on the screen there, also Northern Iowa, Iowa, the other game of that doubleheader. You also got Southern Illinois at Buffalo. If Southern Illinois had not been just total garbage tonight, I would be a lot more excited about this game coming up on Saturday.
Right, yeah. But
right now, I think Buffalo's going to crush them.
Yeah, I mean, all indications are that they will.
I don't even know what else is coming up here the rest of the week. In Indiana State at TCU, David, I guess we could circle that one as well.
Yeah, if they get that one. Although TCU seems to have finally hit their stride after stumbling out of the block.
I guess take a look next Wednesday. Ryder at Drake. Two teams that are in first place at their conferences, although neither one has been playing very well. Could be a good game. I don't know if it'll be an important game, but it could be a good game.
Right, yeah. I mean, it could have CIT implications. So.
Yeah, yeah. The Missouri Valley Conference we just completed. Oh, how about the MEAC?
Oh, boy.
We got a lot more wins in the SWAC here, including four wins already against D1 opponents from Morgan State. How about that? A big win over Towson in the Battle of Baltimore over the weekend there.
Yeah, real feel-good win for them. Them and Howard have looked is probably the two best in the league. But don't forget Savannah State right up there with they're just two games back for overall wins. Going to be a force in this league.
Savannah State, a little bit of trouble in South Dakota, but, you know, it's you know, who wants to go to South Dakota to play basketball? You know, I don't blame them.
Right, and it's all about building towards the conference tournament. That's all it is.
By the way, the fourth team in D1 is Army. That's the team we forgot.
Okay.
I knew we'd figure it out sooner or later, but Army has also been a member of D1 since inception, along with Citadel, William & Mary, and St. Francis, Brooklyn. Anyhow, the upcoming schedule in the MEAC, David, is Savannah State at Wisconsin.
The team of the people going to Wisconsin, and this is just one of those great games. It generates that revenue, Chad. Like, the Div 1 program's generating revenue.
Well, I think it's a real fun week, though, for Howard. First, the Battle of D.C. at GW, very winnable game. I mean, how often does a MEAC team get a bye game on the road?
I know. Oh, my God. John Rothstein, I will frame that if it's the epitome of brutality tweet. I will say this about the team of the people in Whiskey. If you want to talk about two drastically contrasting styles of play, this game is for you.
And you also have Howard at Fordham. And Dave, you want to talk about what conferences like this need to do, go out and make money. Look what FAMU is doing next week. Monday at Utah, Tuesday at Oregon.
Yeah.
That's how you make money.
That's how you make money.
One trip, two huge paychecks for them.
Yeah, probably $80,000, $90,000 a game.
Morgan State, are they even playing this week? I don't even see them up there on the screen. I think they must have the week off. Okay. How about the Metro Atlantic?
The
Mid-American Conference. How about them first? There we go. Again, Buffalo, 14th in the polls, 15th in the coaches' poll. I mean, look at those numbers. I mean, I'm wondering.
Yeah, they're not that good. They're really good. They're easily top 40 good. They're not top 15. I know why they're ranked that high. That's just how the rankings work. But I don't think they're that good. I definitely think they're going to end up inside the bubble. I don't think that they're the 15th best team in the country.
But, David, what I want to discuss is two other teams here. Kent State, a huge win over Wright State. Toledo with a win at Marshall. Both these teams with one loss overall. Looking very impressive to me.
Yeah, now they're going to have to lift some weight. And I think both of them have some tests coming up. But as of now, it's been kind of a light schedule. But the records are bloated, and these are pretty good teams.
Marshall impressed me, though, by Toledo. I mean, really.
Oh, it did, yeah. Toledo, pretty good. I think they're both pretty good, to your point. And I just think that in order for them to become sort of tournament relevant as far as at large talk goes, they need to beat a strong team. But both have some chances coming up, don't they?
Especially Kent State on Saturday at Louisville.
Kent State
could be a fun one.
Yeah, that one's going to be tough. I got to credit Louisville for scheduling some really tough under-the-radar games.
Toledo has a couple home games against Middle Tennessee and Cornell, so they should have a lot easier week this week. Mm-hmm. A few other teams here that have also been competitive, teams like Akron and Ohio and Central Michigan, so not an easy conference by any means.
It isn't, and we've talked about this in years past, maybe not this early, but this is a tough conference because there's some real rivalries in here, and top to bottom, there's enough parity to where it's hard to blow through this league. There's been teams before, maybe not to the degree that Buffalo is doing it, but that have come into conference play looking like they had a chance to land inside the bubble, but they go and they're not able – they lose two or three or four games in this conference. It's not going to be easy to go to Toledo. It's not going to be easy to go to Kent or Akron or Ohio or even a place like Ball State. I mean – don't assume that Buffalo is going to win every game.
Now, I don't see it happening. I could see Buffalo winning the conference.
Oh, yeah.
Season title, but with two, maybe even three losses. That's how tough this conference is to get through.
Yeah. and not the best at, well, maybe not the best out of, not the best under the radar rivalries, but probably the most within a conference.
Yeah.
Well,
especially all those teams in Ohio there. Are, yeah. I mean, it's just, it's always a fun game with them. And then the three Michigan teams as well. Metro Atlantic now, and this has been, I mean, this league has been so disappointing all season.
Yeah, it has. Ryder has looked good at times, but they haven't really gotten the wins. No one else, I mean, when you look at Iona, I know that they had a major issue off the court. Monmouth, the teams that we're used to seeing do well in this league, they've just been pitiful. Manhattan.
Yeah, Iona with that loss to Columbia and the event over the weekend. It's just I don't know what to do other than just kind of hold my nose and wait until conference play when things will get right. A little more interesting.
Yeah, we're looking at the 15-16 line, and let's just – who's next?
We'll take a look at the upcoming schedule. Look at the upcoming schedule here. You know, we do have a Ryder hosting Robert Morris and at Washington State for Ryder, including and a trip out to Drake. So busy, busy week for Ryder this week.
Yeah, it really is.
They only have six games so far, which is probably among the lowest in the entire nation. So they're going to try to get caught up a little bit here, I think.
Yeah, they should. So
now let's go over to the – this is a conference I actually do want to discuss because we saw something happen that hasn't happened in years. Years.
Oh, wow.
In
yeah.
years.
15 years, yeah.
The Penn Quakers became the first team in 25 tries for the Big Five to beat – the first Big Five team to beat Villanova and a 25-game winning streak by the Nova and Big Five play. And this coming off of already having beaten Miami this year, I'm very impressed by Penn at this point.
Yeah, go ahead and pull that profile up if you would, Chad, because, I mean, there's nobody else. Harvard's got some talent, but they've been disappointing. Yale has looked really good. No one has done what Penn has done in this league. And you talk about the win against Villanova at home. They also, like, the Miami game was on a neutral floor. And then at George Mason, and you know all about their strength and conditioning coach, how tough it is to win at George Mason. But when you look at what they have coming up, especially how, you know, terrible New Mexico has been, that Toledo game, although it's after Christmas, is it in the cards for this team? Well, first of all, like, they're 2-0 in the Big Five. If they win the Big Five, I went back and checked this the year LaSalle had done it. It had been forever ago. I stopped looking. When the Big Five winner, and I know it's not a real conference, missed the NCAA tournament. If they knock off Temple and Joe's, are those good? Is their profile going to be good enough to get them inside the bubble?
That game at Temple is going to be a rough, rough game for them to win, first of all. But getting inside the bubble, I just don't know that they have the quality there. I mean, they probably have to go almost run the table in the Ivy League, given that any loss other than maybe at Yale is going to be a bad loss, and then losing the Ivy League championship game. I mean, the Villanova win is going to be good, but it was a home win. They have nothing that they're going to really show on the road unless they get the Temple win.
Yeah.
I mean, winning at New Mexico is tough, but New Mexico is not very good this year.
This year it's not that tough. This is a good team, and they overcame an injury. They lost, like, one of their better players in that season opener. Mm-hmm. So, real impressive with them. But that was fun last night. They sprinted out to a big lead. You kept kind of waiting for Villanova to come back. It seemed like – but, again, every time they got the momentum, Penn had an answer.
Well, in terms of the upcoming week here, we already mentioned what Penn's got. Yale as well has coming up here. Nothing. They have the week off.
What a week. Wow.
Princeton, big week. They got Iona and Atlantic City here as part of the quadruple header, and then they're going to Duke on Tuesday. So big, big week for the Tigers. Not that they can – has Duke played every single Ivy League team already at this point?
I think so. You just included Iona and Duke in the same sentence. I just want to point that out.
Iona and Duke, those are two very difficult matchups, right?
Yeah, one of them is just, you know, one of the best, most entertaining coaches you'll ever see, and the other team has Mike Krzyzewski. Entertaining is more than good, but
Horizon League.
Oh.
NKU, oh. We already mentioned that, lost Eastern Kentucky, but they had Wright State, lost to Kent State. This is another conference that's really disappointing, yeah. David.
Wright State, a real train wreck this year. They lost six games all of last season, and they have virtually everyone back, or six of their top seven. I know that they lost arguably their best player, but everyone else was back, and they're 4-6. And I know that they've lost some games at the buzzer, but they're losing games that they really have no business losing, and their wins just aren't spectacular. And, yeah, real disappointing. Everybody, really. The IUPUI has...
IUPUI had a great week, David, against Indiana hyphenated schools.
Yeah.
I mean, Indiana Kokomo and Indiana Northwest.
Yeah, good job playing no one there. Green Bay, who I thought was going to be toward the bottom of the league, has looked good at times. But really, this whole league's been a disappointment. And this is a fun league. I mean, you and I both are fans of this league, and it's kind of disappointing to see it underachieve the way that it is this year.
Yeah. I mean, if there's anything going to happen this week, here's the upcoming schedule. We've got – I don't know what we've got here that's worth watching.
Green Bay going to Creighton. No, that's not
Oakland at Georgia. Morehead at Wright State. There's not much here. Let's just move on.
Yeah. IUPUI against their old rivals, Fort Wayne.
And hosting Western Illinois. There you go. How about a little Conference USA's talk?
Okay, yeah. Speaking of disappointing leagues.
We forgot
the Colonial.
No, well, actually, we're supposed to get Conference USA. We end up getting the Colonial instead. Let's try it again. Let's try to get Conference USA. Then we'll go to the Colonial. Again, this alphabetical order thing does not work very well for me. Western Kentucky, middle of the standings there, but a huge, huge win in Arkansas over the weekend.
Yeah, and under really improbable circumstances, Western Kentucky was coming apart at the seams, it seemed. And Arkansas had really been looking good and playing good basketball. So when Arkansas jumped out to what seemed to be a comfortable lead at home, you just assumed that the team that had been going to pieces would go to pieces and the team that had looked solid would look solid. Well, that's not what happened at all. Western Kentucky really came together, maybe found themselves, and came back and won that game. And is this what finally gets Western Kentucky back on track and playing up to their ceiling? Because this is a very talented Western Kentucky team.
It really is. And I think it's a West Kentucky team that can win this conference. I mean, the standings are very upside down right now. I don't think North Texas is going to hold in there. I have no confidence at all in any of the Florida teams. Southern Miss has lost a non-D1 game. Louisiana Tech. Old Dominion actually is a little better than I thought they would be so far this year.
Yeah. La Tech is good. I think they're kind of getting their stride back, but they have already kind of blown their chance. But this Western Kentucky team, were they ranked 25th coming into the season? Not that preseason polls matter, but I mean
they were getting a lot of votes heading in. I know that. I don't recall if they were ranked or not.
Yeah.
But the upcoming schedule here in CUSA, we see Western Kentucky, as far as they go, they are hosting Troy, and then at Belmont next Wednesday in a huge, huge game.
Yeah,
but
that one should be fun.
As far as the rest of the standings there go, who knows? Southern Miss has been so up and down, they could beat Wichita State. It wouldn't shock me on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what else you want to circle there for anything. North Texas is at New Mexico.
I'm going to circle that one just to see if somebody else can win it in New Mexico.
All right. Now we already flashed some Colonial standings.
Of the curtain, by the way. This
yes.
Week.
The Colonial Athletic Association. Talk about teams that we do. Like, I'm still very high on this Charleston team.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah.
Sorry. Oh, they did. They beat Georgia College State and Universities. But other than that, they didn't play this week.
Yeah, they didn't play this week. But it's kind of hard to not be impressed with College of Charleston. They brought enough back to be really good, but I thought that they had lost more and that they wouldn't be having this kind of success, but here they are. And a lot of teams, Delaware, I mean, this league's kind of flying under the radar, but when you look at the top, there's teams in this league playing some pretty good basketball.
Yeah, there's that Charleston profile on the left side there. You see the that's not really the profile. That's no. Really not the profile. That still looks like Penn's profile. Okay, there we go.
There is the profile.
Now, only losses are LSU and Oklahoma State. at VCU and at Siena coming up.
Yeah.
But the other team I put up on the right side there, is there something here with this Hofstra team, David? I mean,
they
destroyed Manhattan by 30 points this week. They also picked up.
We just got done talking about how good they were. They've won their games.
They've won big.
They haven't beaten anybody in the top 250.
Ryder. Ryder by 16, and they got a real, real interesting game, their next game out at Stony
Brook. At Stony Brook, yeah. Now, if they get that one, then I'm going to sit up and take notice. Stony Brook having a great year.
And then they go up against DePaul's old building.
Yeah.
Rosemont, no?
Right, yeah.
Let's get the entire upcoming schedule here in the Colonial, see if there's anything else worth watching besides those games we just mentioned. Delaware is also at Stony Brook.
That's a great one on Saturday, College of Charleston, VCU. That is a really good one. VCU playing very well. Not something you'll hear us say about the A-10 very often, but that's a good one. You mentioned Delaware at Stony Brook.
Yeah, Charleston at Siena is not going to be a good game.
No, it shouldn't be.
Battle of Delaware coming up Wednesday night, the Delaware State-Delaware game.
Yeah, so that's another fun one to see.
Big West Conference.
Love this league.
Really fun league to watch. UC Irvine bouncing back from the loss, picked up a win over Montana. Nice win over Montana this weekend, actually.
Yeah, it was a really good win for them and a pretty good game as well. So, someone just threw some ice onto the floor at the Houston LSU. Not an under-the-radar game, but it distracted me for a second. Like I say, it's a good thing we don't
have Wait, is that a puppet in the stands?
Yeah, it might be. Yeah. But, yeah, Irvine, Santa Barbara,
those are the two teams,
you know, the two teams that are kind of sprinting out to everybody else. Long Beach, again, struggling against their ridiculous schedule.
I got to ask you, David, Dan Munson's been there for a while and really hasn't turned it into any type of postseason success at all.
No, he hasn't. And he's had some teams that appeared to be really good. I mean, I do remember one year where they ended up with a 12 seed, and I remember thinking they should have been inside the bubble. But he seems to follow this formula, and you can't say that it's not logical. But it's also not working.
And they went even a little weaker than normal, though, this year. I mean, losses to Utah Valley Pacific, their only wins Southern Utah and Iona. They still got Bethesda on the schedule. And they're still not.
In the way he wants – well, first he wants to give his teams opportunities and get them used to playing against high-level competition. The other is that it makes money for the institution. The other is that it's exposure for the institution, because when you're playing in games like that, you're on television and whatnot. And the other is just the experience for the players playing in big arenas in front of big crowds. It makes sense what they're doing. It's just not working. And even in times where they look good – you know, we would watch him play against Gonzaga and UCLA and Kentucky and Louisville and whoever it is that he can find in the top 10 to play them. And they would compete. They'd lose by 6 or 8, but they would lose all of them. And you're like, well, wait till they get in the conference play. And then they would crash.
He may be on the hot seat after this season. That's all.
Right.
This keeps going. Upcoming schedule. Let's do the upcoming schedule in the Big West, and then we'll move on to the last few conferences here. Upcoming schedule, we've got Santa Barbara's at Rice. We've got Irvine at Eastern Michigan. Actually, pretty good game there. Eastern Michigan, disappointing so far this season. We didn't even discuss
that. Yeah, they really have been.
I like them heading into the year.
Right.
Let's go to the Big South Conference.
Yeah, the home of Radford.
Home of Radford. Radford with the disappointing loss to Ohio this week, though.
Really was. As good as they've been this year and as strong as they've been on the road, they kind of had a rough week last week, losing to Ohio, and I think they dropped another game.
We'll pull up the profile here.
Let's
go ahead and get some Radford profile here. They lost lost somebody else recently. We can figure it out.
Yeah, I've already I'll remember.
They lost the game at James Madison also.
Yeah, James Madison. We talked about that last week. But, you know, the wins at Notre Dame and at Texas and Bill and Mary, not an easy place to win. Not that it's there's anything grossly wrong with the games that they lost, but you would expect them to be able to win those given some of the games that they've won.
Yeah, they've got some really interesting games coming up, though. At Clemson, at Greensboro, home to Georgia Southern, at Maryland. I mean, circle those middle two games.
Oh,
those
man, are both good ones. Yeah. So, again, kind of road warriors here. And if they can get one or two of those, then, I mean, they're really building a profile here.
Yeah, here's the upcoming schedule. We just mentioned what Radford has. I mean, Longwood out to a nice 7-4 overall start. They could pick up a couple more wins with Cornell this week.
Recent transition team. But no one in this league has really looked the part that Radford has. I mean, I just think that Campbell's got an electrifying player. They're fun to watch just because of Clemens. But, I just think Radford might run away with this league. And it's a league that normally has two games separating the top eight teams.
Yeah, I agree with you this year. I mean, teams like Winthrop are a little down this year, and I think you're right on that. Big Sky Conference.
Oh, yeah.
And let's start with – I want to have a discussion here, David.
Yes.
Because – we've been a huge fans of the Front Range Conference for years.
Huge. I mean.
And we saw this week this now 6-1 Northern Colorado team pick up a win over Johnson & Wales Law Firm of Colorado.
Right. Yeah, the Johnson & Wales. And I knew nothing about Johnson & Wales. I didn't know anything about their law firm. I wasn't sure if it was a college or a law firm.
But David, more importantly, with the win over Johnson & Wales and the win over Colorado College and the win at Wyoming and the win at Denver and no more games left on the calendar, Northern Colorado is your Front Range champion, are they not?
I think they are. They've got four wins. The question is, do you count those as Front Range games? I don't know. The Front Range, for those that haven't been watching us, it's a mythical conference that isn't really a mythical conference anymore in the way that the Big Five is, but it's Colorado, Colorado State, Wyoming, Air Force, Denver, and Northern Colorado. They used to play the full round robin. They did for years. I think they even used to hang banners, if I'm not mistaken, but Colorado bailed out of it, and I hate that they did it. Is a huge fan of the Front Range, but I also kind of understand not wanting to be locked into five out of conference games when you're already locked into, is it 18 conference games?
Yep.
So that makes a little sense. They still play Colorado State. I think they still play one or two others, but not the full round robin. But since they're absent, can there be stand-ins? Is it like when Guns N' Roses went out on the road without Izzy? Is it still the same?
I see Colorado, Colorado College, same thing. I see Johnson & Wales, Colorado State, heck, same thing.
Yeah.
I think this is your Front Range champion.
I think it is. I want to hang
the trophy.
And you know what? We might send them a banner. We might send them a banner. Northern Colorado is the Front Range champions this year. We love the Front Range.
We do love the Front Range. Congrats to Northern Colorado. Actually, after a real good start to the season as well. Yeah. I still like this Montana team also, although they mentioned that they did lose that game. Montana State? Congrats on their second D1 win on the road at Washington State.
Wazoo. Oh, my God. Wazoo was terrible. And it wasn't even what made it worse was that it was a neutral bye game. Washington State hosted the game, but they moved it off campus. So they're buying games off campus now. It is just not good at Wazoo.
The upcoming week here, we see, Northern Colorado's at New Mexico State. Circle that game Monday night.
Oh, man, yeah.
Really kind of excited about that one. Montana at Arizona also coming up next Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Two more leagues to go through. Let's take a look at the A-Sun, where another team that impressed me in a loss tonight, Lipscomb. Great game against Louisville.
Yeah, and when you look at Lipscomb's losses, the two against Belmont, their rival, all close games, and then the loss at Louisville, another very close game. So close that I want to say it was tied with about 2 minutes to go, and with less than a minute to go, they were down by two with the ball. They had a really good defensive position at the end of the game. They forced such a bad shot that the shot was so bad that Lipscomb, who was in position to get the rebound, could not get the rebound. That's how badly and awkwardly it came off the rim. And then they just had a stupid turnover late in the game, not to discredit Louisville or anything, but this is a really good Lipscomb team. They've got two good wins on their resume already. The SMU win, I don't know how much it's going to do for them at the end of the year, but I think the win at TCU will carry them far. And I got to ask, Chad, if they can blow through their schedule, I think to get inside the bubble, winning tonight would have done it, assuming they blew through the Big Sky or a Sun. But is there enough there?
Let's see. Look, here's the rest of the upcoming schedule. They got Vermont and a road game at Clemson. I mean, that's it in terms of non-conference. So they got to win both of those to even think about it. And the conference is not going to – they're not going to necessarily run through this. I very much like this Liberty team so far. Yeah. They've got some great metrics. I'll pull them up here on the right-hand side. Nothing hugely impressive with the wins, but their wins have been the win at Kent State actually is very nice, actually.
Yeah, I think it is. I like this Liberty.
And the Georgia State win also. I mean, those are two wins that are name brands, but they are very good wins. Their only losses at Vandy and at Georgetown.
Yeah.
Alabama coming up next week and at UCLA. Yeah.
I like this Lipscomb team, and I like this Liberty team too, but if they do blow through the Big South and they go to a Liberty and win, I just would hate to see them left out if they fall in the conference tournament, if they do all that.
And David, don't forget about NJIT. Actually received a vote in the top 25 poll this week.
First time ever. Real nice win at Fordham, and it's weird that just doesn't roll off the tongue. Very
well, you know, not every team from the state of New Jersey can go into Fordham and
pick up a win. Yeah. Okay. But NJIT can. The original team of the people.
They got a test coming up in a couple weeks here at Houston, so keep an eye on that one.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and take a quick look at the rest of the upcoming schedule here in the A-Sun. We mentioned most of these games already that are worth watching. Battle of New Jersey there, NJIT and Fairleigh Dickinson.
Yeah.
Stetson at Central Florida, the Battle of Orlando. Is that what that is?
Yeah, it is. Well, I don't know. It's the Battle of something.
Well, they're both in that Orlando area, right? America East.
Yeah, America. The start of the show or the end of the show, but
Stony Brook, got a battle from Long Island tonight, but did hold on and pick up the win.
Yeah,
which you got to do in games like that if you want to
right
team.
UMBC kind of stumbling around, not nearly as good as they were last year. Even before they're when I say that, I mean in reference to before beating Virginia, they seem to have scaled off a bit. Vermont. Lost everything, yet here they are 6-3.
They still have Anthony Lamb, so they didn't lose.
Okay, they do have Anthony Lamb. Okay. But I was going to say Stony Brook, the team that kind of impressed me the most, but Vermont is impressive just because that they lost so much, and yet here they've won 6 out of the 9 games that they played.
They won 6 out of 9. I mean, Stony Brook, the very disappointing loss over the weekend to Brown.
I mean, was that a double overtime loss? It was
It was over.
Game they really should have won.
Yeah. The week up ahead, up in the America East, the Stony Brook team is hosting Delaware. Vermont is hosting State Bonaventure and Northeastern. A couple of pretty fun games there too.
Yeah.
Stony Brook hosting Hofstra. We mentioned that one already.
Yeah.
Want to do a top 10 list?
I think so.
All right. December 12, 2018, our top 10 list. We'll start with a few honorable mentions. Teams also receiving votes that did not make our top 10s. We see Kent State. We see Wofford, not quite in the top 10. North Texas and Abilene Christian often for those great records. The Greensboro team and Liberty, who we just mentioned.
Right, yeah. So
those are not the 10 best under the radar teams. The 10th best team is unavailable.
All right, well.
We're not going to get anything. Let's try it again. There it is, Toledo.
Oh, Toledo. Okay, the Rockets cracking the rankings.
Yeah, the other Mid-American team besides Kent State.
This is what happens. I see this now that when only two people are voting,
Stony Brook coming in at 9th.
We
had a lot of ties because of the vote. So we got tied for 7th. We got two teams tied here for 7th. Radford, who we mentioned a few moments ago, tied with Penn. How about the Quakers on the strength that building over the Miami wins?
Penn. Yeah.
Yeah, Penn Quakers breaking out top 10 for the first time this season.
Yeah.
Tied for 5th, Western Kentucky and Charleston.
Yeah, like both those teams. So.
Okay. Number 4, who's in here? How about Lipscomb?
Who we just got done praising. Real good Lipscomb team.
Tie for 2nd here between Murray State out of the OVC
and
New Mexico
State. Oh, so that means Belmont's number one.
And still number one, top of the list, strength of two wins over the number four team. It's hard to keep them off of number one. Right. There they are, Belmont, top of the list still.
Mm-hmm. So
on that note, I'll go ahead and pull this down here. And David, anything else you want to discuss for the night?
Basically, I just never understood what final exams had to do with college basketball. Why do we have to have exam week and fewer games? You know, we want more basketball. This guy also wants more basketball. It is strength and conditioning coach Handy Hendurahan from George Mason. He does not like exams.
I didn't know that he was under the radar, David. This must be the under the radar show.
Oh, it is. Okay, he's not. Well, he's wherever he wants to be.
Okay, he's under the radar and over the radar.
Yeah.
Well, Handy, next week everyone will be back to regular, and everyone can get that strength and conditioning in, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay. I guess on that note, on behalf of David Griggs and John Slicko, we didn't let John talk at all tonight.
No, yeah, John absent today.
Oh, he's not here. Oh, okay. I thought he was here. I thought we were just we were just cutting him off or something. All right. Yeah. On behalf of David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. This has been Under the Radar. We'll be back again next weekend. Hopefully we'll actually have a show that's worth watching at that
point. Yeah. I wouldn't count on it, though.
Sorry for this performance. It was pretty awful. Have a great night, everybody.